Peter Lynham.
And how are you going, Johnny?
Good.
And Big Hungry? Very good.
Kia ora, mate. Yeah, good as. Good as. Have we caught you on a bus or anywhere entertaining we need to cover?
No, I'm sitting at home looking at the most fabulous book I have seen for a long time.
I assume you're looking at these images of these buildings.
That's right. My neighbour lent me this extraordinary book called Encounters on the Holy Mountain, Stories from Mount Athos.
Mm.
And it is the most sumptuous and magnificent book about a world that you and I know nothing about. It struck me looking at the pictures that the history of Greek Orthodox monks is almost more exotic than the Dalai Lama and the Patala and the huge palace in Lhasa.
Right.
How yeah, so? How so?
If you consider that these, we're looking at these buildings like perched up on like a mountaintop, it looks very Game of Thrones / Star Wars. Like it's almost impossible how these things are on the side of these mountains.
It is truly unbelievable. These buildings, you know, they're as old as the Great Palace in Lhasa, and they're utterly exotic.
Mm.
They're part of an autochthonous republic on which no female, not even a female animal, is allowed to ever set foot, apart from hens and cats.
What? What? Okay, yeah, I did actually read that. Why, that no women are allowed up there. Is that going to be a problem going forward, or are they okay with it?
Well, there have been issues in the past. A Greek beauty queen dressed up as a man and snuck onto the island in the 1930s, I think it was.
Rad. Did anything bad happen?
The horror of the monks, I mean, left an extraordinary reaction, yes.
Did she, like, derobe up there or something and go, ha!
Oh, no, right. Nothing as extreme as that. But the fact that she got there caused major ramifications, and since then, you've actually had to receive a license to be allowed to land on the island.
How big is the island, Peter, just out of interest?
Well, it's actually not an island, it's a peninsula.
Peninsula?
Hmm. It's not very big. It's got 2,416 people living on it, and it looks to me to be about 10 or 15 square miles, but I mean, I'm guessing a little bit of that.
And do we know why they aren't allowed to have any females on the mountain?
Because the entire population, the permanent population on the island, on the North Peninsula, is in fact monks who live in one of 12 enormous monasteries.
And the monks can be tempted by anything but a hen and a cat.
Precisely. Yes.
Oh,
they're
man.
Extremely
That's complicated.
Vulnerable. And so they are kept safe in their monastic life. Mm. Now, you've got to recall that this, which sounds pretty unappealing and unattractive, is in fact going through an astonishing boom.
Oh, yeah.
It looked as though the numbers were dwindling away to nothing.
And then they sent a picture out going, some can come stay at my house. And everyone was like, oh, hell, that looks great.
Yes, well, I think what happened was that there's been various Orthodox writers, especially writing in the English language, who've made the Orthodoxy more popular. And the idea, the purest orthodoxy on the world has got to be in these monasteries in Mount Athos.
And what are they like deep in thought and just can't have any sort of weird temptation around them? Or what are they getting up to up there? Are they writing a new cool book that we need to read? Or are they inventing some kind of new hopscotch game?
Their form of monastic life historically was that they were individual monks. In fact, many of them were in fact hermits, living by themselves
in giant castles.
How does it help other people though? I don't understand how.
Well, they were in separate cells, but they followed the rule by themselves. They were not governed by an abbot in charge of them.
Mm.
So it was like an individual
personal journey. Mm.
Now, increasingly in recent years, as the numbers have boomed, and we're now at 2,500 of them, they've become much more ordered, because it's needed that in order to keep the women out, if you like, in order to carefully license and control the people. You understand that the island operates on its own time zone. It doesn't follow the normal Greek time zone. it's, you know, its independence is guarded by the European Community. When you step on the island, you really need effectively a passport. It's kind of a you can see pictures of it somewhere.
I'm looking at I'm looking at a picture right now of somebody who looks like the Wizard of Christchurch.
Yes.
And he's standing next to a bunch of skulls on a shelf that look like they're ordered in a particular way. And it says, Mount Athos, a male-only holy retreat.
Yes, yeah. and so to go there, and they do welcome people to come, but maximum of 4 days visit.
Right.
And the book that I've got, it's very intriguing because Prince Charles, sorry to go back to royalty again, but Charles has sponsored a Friends of Mount Athos Society. And probably his late dad was pretty enthusiastic on this too, given that he had an Orthodox background, a Greek Orthodox background. And so they're busy repairing the lanes and the walkways, because getting between these 12 monastic communities is pretty difficult.
Right.
And so they are allowed to stay a little bit longer and to work bit by bit gradually. They've been working since the 1980s on repairing the roads. But the exotic nature of Mount Athos is essentially because it is we call it a kinabetic community. They say, you know, individual professions. So each builds their own, historically, each has built their own little attachment to the building.
Right.
Which is why that, you know, bits creep out from all sorts of directions.
I've got a picture of a young man cruising around just hitting a stick. He's just got a stick here and he's just hitting it. He'll be cruising around the island from about 4 a.m. to 2 p.m. just hitting his stick. So, but everybody on the island that isn't a tourist, are they all part of this gang that is about hanging out in these rad buildings? Nobody's just living there, like nothing to do with it. They're all.
Well, they obviously need a kind of technical staff to keep the people out.
Right. Got you.
And so that there is a system, but I think that is run by specified monks who are in control of running the island. You know,
it's such an old-world thing. This is buzzing me out, like, that this even exists.
It is. I mean, I, being a male, I would desperately want to go and visit it now.
Well, it's in your wheelhouse as well, mate. I wouldn't feel bad about
precisely.
It.
Precisely. Yeah. But you know, it is very difficult to get the license to go on the island, to go on the visit anyway.
Now, Peter, are the people on the island just practicing their own sort of spiritual journey rather than trying to preach anything to the rest of the world?
Yes, well, the nature of Orthodox monasticism is that their function is to pray for the world. And so they don't need another reason for existence. Their prayers hold the Orthodox community together. Their spirituality kind of sticks them out apart from everybody else. And in the Orthodox view of the world, the existence of such people is critical to maintaining the balance of the earth.
Interesting. And so in Orthodox people that aren't up in there on the Mount yada yada, are they praying about them? Is it like a circular thing? Are they going, and also let's give a prayer to old mates that are up in the buildings?
All Orthodox. Remember, there's quite a few Orthodox from Russian and Greek background.
Right.
And incidentally, there's a Russian Orthodox and there's various other Orthodox communities that coexist at Mount Athos.
Mount Athos.
With their own communities.
Right, right.
But each of them depends really on the support of Orthodox people throughout the world. So money funnels through to maintain this existence. I don't think they have glamorous wine cellars and live it up in the ways that monasteries used to in the Catholic world in the old days. This is a tougher form of existence than it ever used to be, because it often used to be said that the old Catholic monasteries, the elite were monks, and then there was a whole stream of servants who were alongside who did the hard manual labor.
Right, and the monks just did like random obscure psychedelics and wine.
Well, they illustrated manuscripts and they maintained the culture and learning of the world. Come on, you must have read some of those fancy books that tell you those stories. But Mount Athos, I mean, there will be a scriptorium where they'll be copying out and illustrating the Holy Scriptures, and the worship is maintained for extraordinarily long hours. I mean, they'll be exhausted because they'll start very early at 5 a.m. and they'll do the midnight on the hour. Well, it's roughly midnight. They'll be going to 11 or 12 o'clock. And so their sleep is incredibly broken up into these hours of prayer. And if you come as a pilgrim, you'll be expected to follow the same routine. And the pictures of the of where the guest houses are for the visitors suggest that this is a pretty grim existence, and 4 days is possibly all you could take of it. But it's just an astonishingly different world.
It's a trip,
than
yeah.
What we conceive of.
Yeah, totally, absolutely. Very, very buzzy. So, I mean, the architecture alone is enough to...
Oh, the architecture, it's worth just going to the Mount Athos home, isn't it, and looking at the video library and studying the extraordinary pictures and looking at the incredible discoveries that you can find at the library that's held so much down the years. What a place.
Yes, fascinating. It's cool what humans can build. It is. It's weird how it's no babes allowed, but, you know, that's the old ways, isn't it?
Yes.
Thank you so much for walking us through Greek Orthodox monasteries in Mount Athos, Peter Lynham. Cheers.
Bye.